an hour. Now, the tithe is a direct tax on property. So when you paid your tithe, you paid your tithe in property, such as cattle, or wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. But the income tax is not a tax on property. It's an excise tax. It's a tax on a privilege, and the privilege is the use of unjust weights and balances, which is a violation of Leviticus 19:35 and 36. So those Federal Reserve notes, checks, credit cards, mortgages, and commercial paper, which bear interest, which violates the interest law, or the usury law, coupled with the fact that they're unjust weights and balances, is what subjects us to the income tax. So the income tax is a penalty that we pay for violating Leviticus 19:35 and 36 on unjust weights and balances. And then when you go down and you make a loan and you pay interest, the interest or the usury is the penalty that you pay. I think it's more than we can cover in 5 or 10 minutes on the air. And I understand.
I guess now they're going to go to break, George, so we'll pick up with the answer to that in a minute.
Listen to us worldwide on hbroadcast.com. This is the Heritage Broadcast System.
We all want and need someone to trust. But who can we trust these days? Did you know that handwriting reveals a lot about who you really are? The idea that personality and character can be evaluated from someone's handwriting has always interested and excited people. The science of graphology is objective and reliable. If you want to know what makes someone tick, then graphology is the tool. You can pull a lie detector, but not a graphologist. For further information regarding complete and confidential personality profiling by a master graphologist, contact the Mind Hunter. Our email address is mindhunter2@juno.com. That's MINDHUNTER, all lowercase, 2@juno.com. Or write us at KBJ, Post Office Box 6485, Biloxi, Mississippi 39532.
Galaxy 11, Transponder 14, 7.71 wideband audio, the Heritage Broadcasting System.
Welcome back to By Yahweh's Desire with Pastor Ben. I'm your host, Pastor Ben.
Welcome back, everybody. And again, this is the 12th of March, year 2001. Our topic tonight is Biblical Law. Our guest is George Gordon, who runs the George Gordon School of Common Law in Missouri. And before we continue with the question I had, we want to send out a thank you to Charles down there in Georgia. We received your letter in support today, and we thank you very much for that. Okay, now back to the question. I realize we can't go into a great deal of detail, but what do you tell somebody like that? I mean, here's a young man, 15. His parents have gone to the trouble to keep him out of the beast numbering system. Do you encourage him to further study and approve himself to where he can continue outside of Babylonian system or, you know, that sort of thing? How would you handle that?
Well, it's a cruel world out there. I deal with private business. I don't have a social security number and neither does my daughter. What we do with our daughter here is to teach her to do private business rather than public business. I wouldn't encourage my daughter to go to work at McDonald's. For instance, she has her own business. She's 13, and she breeds dogs. She has about $10,000 worth of breeding dogs. And she has Japanese Chins, German Shepherds, and toy poodles, and those dogs are worth $300 or $400 each when they're weaned. She also has sheep, and that right now she can produce probably in the neighborhood of $10,000 a year by herself. All she has to do to produce $100,000 is to multiply her operation by 10. She'll have to work 10 times as hard. But that's the purpose for not having a Social Security number, is so that you can do private business rather than public business. Social Security is totally voluntary. Nobody has to join. But once you join, you're in forever. You can join up, but you can't opt out. Now, there's an exception to that rule. You can opt out under the doctrine of fraud, and you can rescind your Social Security account, but you have the burden of showing that you were defrauded. Now, if you've taught your children what Social Security is, well, then you should know that it's the mark of the beast and it's something that you don't want. Now, that's insofar as driving is concerned, or driving an automobile. You have to have a driver's license in order to drive an automobile, but when you get a driver's license, the next step in the scenario is that you have a contract with the state. Now, there's four statutes in Scripture that prohibit making these contracts with the government or with foreign and alien gods. Let me give you those four covenant statutes here. You probably know them, but in Exodus 23 verses 32 and 33, Exodus 34, 10 through 17, Leviticus 18, 3 through 5, and Deuteronomy 7 verses 1 and 2 are four statutes that prohibit us from making contracts with foreign and alien gods. It's an act of idolatry. That's why I don't have a driver's license. Now, the four problems with the driver's license is this. You have to sign the application and use a birth date. Well, the birth date is incident to astrology, and astrology is incident to witchcraft, and witchcraft is a capital felony. So, to avoid practicing witchcraft, we don't use birth days. We use years and ages, but not the birth date or birth day, which is so common in America today. And one of the three identifying indices the government wants, they want to know your name, your Social Security number, and your birth date. Those are the three indices that they use for identification. So when it comes time to getting a driver's license, if you drive prudently, your chances of getting stopped are very remote. Now, I've been driving for probably, well, the last time I think I got stopped was probably 1976 for speeding. But most young people are unable to do that. They have to speed, they have to show off, they have to act like children, which is the purpose for the driver's license. That is regulation and control. People who cannot control themselves then have a need to be governed and controlled. So I know when I was 16, I wasn't competent to handle an automobile, and I needed a license, registration, and insurance. When you get mature, probably out around age 40, and you know, some adults are unable to control themselves, and they can't stop at stop signs, and they can't control their speed, etc. But I've discovered that your chances of getting caught driving without a license are fairly minimal. When you do, you go in and pay the fine, and then walk out and continue on about your business. If you do that, I think you can live your life without it. But if you can't, well, then the only other solution is to go down and get a driver's license and bring yourself under that regulation and control, which I don't think is scriptural.
We neglected to give the address for your school earlier, George. Do you want to give the folks your mailing address if they wanted to get in touch with you?
Our mailing address is Post Office Box 297 in Isabella, Missouri. You can send for our 2001 schedule, and we also give pass out a VHS general law tape. It's a 4-hour tape that describes all of our classes here. And that tape is free. I just ask the people when you call in and order it that you copy the tape and then return the original, and I can send it up to somebody else. That address again is Post Office Box 297, Isabella, Missouri. The zip code here is 65676. Remember, that's Post Office Box 297, Isabella, Missouri, 65676. Or you can call us here at the school and just give us the information. We'll send it to you. It's area code 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And a program reminder, next Sunday, March 18th, I'll be in San Antonio, Texas at the AmeriSuites Hotel. So for those of you down in Texas or in that San Antonio area, 5 to 9 p.m., a free seminar on taxes and biblical common law, 5 to 9 p.m., AmeriSuites Hotel out near the San Antonio Airport, 7615 Jones Maltberger Road, San Antonio Airport, AmeriSuites. March 18th, 5 to 9 p.m., free.
We have Eileen from Florida, with a question.
Okay, George, we've got a caller from Florida. I didn't catch the name. Welcome to the program.
I have one question. When my granddaughter was born in the hospital, the hospital wouldn't let them out until she had Social Security issued. What can she do about that?
How old is she? How old is the girl now?
Oh, I can't hear you at all.
How old is the child now?
Well, she's 8 years old now.
Okay, you can rescind the Social Security number for her. She can't because she's a minor. You can. Now remember that the Social Security number is voluntary, and you volunteered.
Well, she was only just born.
What?
She didn't volunteer.
What,
her
what do you
had
think,
to sign a paper, and they issued her a Social Security number.
They came in, though, and they said that you want us to give you the Social Security number, and no doubt somebody put some pressure to you and said, we won't let the child out of the hospital until you get it.
That's right.
Now, let's think about that pragmatically. Let's suppose that you said, well, I'm not going to get this Social Security number. Do you think they would have kept her in that hospital until now? She's 8 years old, or do you think that maybe they might have let her go?
Well, I guess my daughter didn't realize, and that's what happened. But still in all, I would think that when you're old enough to make your own decisions, is there a possibility that she could rescind the Social Security number?
Yeah, she can do that when she's 18.
When she's 18, she can do that?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah, I personally know a member of my family. She was in the hospital, and they didn't even bother to ask if, this was 2 years ago, didn't even bother to ask if the mother and father wanted it. They filled out the paperwork and sent it in. At least that's what I was told by this member of the family. So they're getting pretty brazen, not only with the pressure, but in some cases, according to what I'm being told anyway, they're going ahead and just processing the paperwork anyway.
That's correct. The policy of the United States is this. They want everybody signed up for Social Security. And in order to do that, they go to the hospitals which receive federal funding. And they say, then you have to adopt this policy in your hospital, and if you fail, then we'll cut off your federal funding. So the hospital administrators will sometimes say, it's the law, you have to do this. Well, it's not the law, and you don't have to do it. And rape requires resistance. because without resistance, it's not rape. So you have to know what your rights are and then assert your rights and demand them. Now, as the lady pointed out, her daughter had to actually sign the application for Social Security. They come in with a form, and they physically have to sign that for the child to have that Social Security number issued. And, of course, she signed it, and she may have thought that, well, we're not going to let you out of this hospital until you sign. Well, wait a minute. If I put a gun at your head and I said, I'm not going to let you out of my office until you sign this will or this document for me, doesn't that tell you that that's coercion? So coercion isn't allowed, and sometimes people are cunningly coerced into waiving their rights due to their ignorance. And that sounds like more the case in Social Security in the hospital.
Yeah, absolutely. George, I want to shift gears here just a little bit. This is excellent information you've got. My perception of the scripture telling us to get out of Babylon, to me, Babylon is this whole Babylonian Roman civil law, a mishmash of confusion and myriad laws that are all generated to keep us as criminals, put us down and take our property and enslave us, etc. It's all part of Mystery Babylon. Now, the scripture tells us to come out, and let me get your version or your feelings about that. And along with that, if we're to come out, wouldn't part of coming out be putting, as Paul, or I should say Peter, told us to do, putting our Heavenly Father's law above man's law?
Well, I think you're exactly correct. Take a look at Leviticus 18, verses 3 through 5. Tells you plainly, do not practice the law of Egypt. Listen to this statement. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein you dwelt shall you not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan where I'm bringing you shall you not do, and neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein, because I'm the eternal your God. And you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, because I'm the eternal. Let's paraphrase that. After the doings of the land of the United States wherein you dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Texas, where I bring you, shall you not do, and neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I'm the eternal your God. Now, in Revelation 18:4, did you notice there that God says that he wants us to come out of the Babylonian system? If I can find that quickly, I found my book here, so I can probably find that. Revelation 18:4 says to come out of her, my people. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. Now keep this one in mind. The Supreme Court in Seeger versus U.S. said that there was a higher loyalty than loyalty to the United States or this country, and that's loyalty to God. And in Public Law 97-280, Statute 96-1211, Congress said that we ought to study and apply the teachings of the Scripture in the lives of individuals, families, and society. And the collateral estoppel in Acts 5, verse 29, Peter said that we ought to obey God rather than men. So if there's a conflict between the law of the state or the law of the nation and the law of Moses, then the Supreme Court, the Congress, and God are all speaking with the same voice. We ought to obey God rather than men.
Absolutely. I think we're in the big, big mess that we're in is because of our disobedience to that simple principle. Part of the problem is the media in this country. The media is practically completely dominated by Antichrist. Case in point, yesterday I was listening to an AM channel just for a few minutes, and they had a lively discussion going on, and this black gentleman was the caller, and then this I don't even know who it was the host. And at one point, the black gentleman said something about, well, we're supposed to be a Christian nation. And the host immediately jumped up and started screaming about three times in a row, no, this has never been a Christian nation. We are not supposed to be a Christian nation. Oh, no, no, we have never been a Christian nation. You see what I'm saying?
Well, the talk show host is in error there. There are 337 cases decided between 1794 and 1988 on religious free exercise. And the Supreme Court of the United States, on numerous occasions, between 1794 and 1890, referred to Christianity as the basis of Anglo-Saxon administration and of the civil as well as ecclesiastical law here in the United States. Beginning in 1890, we see some moderation in that view, and then the first case that opened the door to this sectarian and anti-God philosophy that has permeated our government began in 1947 in a case in Texas, Brown versus School Board, 1954, I believe it was. And then a number of cases beginning in 1962, which banished school prayer. And then the Ten Commandments have been abolished and banned from the public schools in 1980. So this anti-God philosophy that has taken over the United States actually began right after World War II. And I might point out that in 1900, we were not practicing a single one of the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in this country. And the 10th plank, that is the free public education plank, wasn't put in at the federal level until 1937 with compulsory education at the federal level. So it's a relatively new phenomenon. It occurred after World War II. It's been in operation now for a little over 50 years. And it's true that America is no longer a Christian nation. That's true. But it was, and that was the intent of our founding fathers. And the concept of the separation of truth and our church and state was not a maxim of law until 1947 in this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I knew he was wrong, and you've pointed that out. And people need to be armed with information like you have, maybe not to your level, but they need to have the facts and figures and somewhat in front of them, so when they come across people spouting this kind of heresy, that they can shoot it down. Now, let me give the call-in number real quick again here, George. It's area code 812-476-3026. Now, I got a quick question here. We've got about 7 minutes left. I got two questions I'd like you to cover in the next 7 minutes. One is, you say we're in transition, which I agree, we are in transition. My question is, what do we do in this transition as far as, do we go along, do we resist, how do we arm ourselves, that sort of thing. And then the last question is, many of us want to come out of this system, and many of us are interested in private business. I was told by Pastor Bob that you have information about how anybody can take 5 acres of ground and turn that into generating upwards of $100,000 a year for whoever's working that land. If you would cover those two issues, I'd appreciate it.
Well, let's take the second question first. I do teach a class on how to make $100,000 on 25 acres or less. That was pioneered by Professor Watley at Tuskegee Institute, and I applied the 15 agricultural laws from the scripture to complement Professor Watley's program. But it isn't necessary to go into farming. Not everybody wants to farm or is interested in agronomy. But I teach a class on private business, and we can operate private businesses. Like my school here is a private business, not open to the public. Unlike public business, such as a restaurant, which is regulated and controlled. I deal in gold and silver coin, hard money, and tuition here is paid in hard money. So if you're interested in private business, April 16th to the 20th will be the next school. Just ask for our 2001 schedule. And your first question, I believe, if I can remember it now, is how do you come out of the system?
Well, what do we do in this transitional period? I mean, it's very frustrating to me. I don't have a propensity for learning this stuff as well as men like yourself. I don't have the patience nor the time to dig to get to this higher level of understanding in both of these systems. It's enough for me trying to keep up with my father's law and making sure I'm living my life to his law as best as I can. So we're caught in this transitional period. So my question is, what kind of advice would you give those of us out here trying to live in this cesspool that we're living in and still follow our father's law?
All right, I teach a class on the Mosaic Law. There are 133 titles of law in the scripture, and they're broken down into 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. There are 28 penalties for the violation of those laws, and there are 24 laws that carry a capital felony, such as witchcraft, is punishable by death. Now, I don't think that it's that difficult to learn. I think that I've got a 13-year-old daughter, and she can learn biblical law, you know, she's at the seventh grade or eighth grade level. And I think that anybody at the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade level can learn the scriptural law. I don't believe that you need to learn all of the Roman civil law. I think you need to learn how to avoid practicing the Roman civil law. So every time the government comes out and says, we want you to sign a contract with us called a driver's license or a marriage license or a social security account number, I think that if you knew and understood the four statutes on covenants, don't make contracts with foreign and alien gods would solve that problem for you. If you knew and understood witchcraft, I think then you would say, well, I don't think I'm going to use a birthday as an identifier any longer. And if you extrapolate these 133 titles of law out that way, pretty soon it becomes fairly simple. And the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, number 10 calls for free education for children in public school. Are you really sure that you want to send your child to a public school and have them exposed to potential murder, drugs, pornography, sex, sodomy? You know, public school costs $5,600 a year per student. Homeschool, on average, costs $546, about one-tenth. So I think that we can educate our children at home in a good homeschool program for less money, educate them to the entire biblical or Mosaic law, and then avoid practicing. You know, I don't pay an income tax, but it's because I don't have any income. And the government has trained us to go into income and profit and away from property and increase. We pay a tithe on increase and we pay a tax on income.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can learn that, and I think that my daughter has done a pretty good job of it.
I think you're 100% accurate. I believe that all our efforts should be learned in toward learning our father's law and ignore this other law, not ignore it, but put it in its proper perspective and put our father's law up front. For the folks who didn't get it, let me give this number for you, George. Area code 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Contact George Gordon for his information on his schedule. It sounds to me like he's got some excellent material, and we need to get up on that biblical law. And we're almost out of time. If you've got a closing remark you'd like to make, George.
Well, I'm glad you had me on, and anytime you want me, just give us a call, schedule it in, and we'll be happy to talk to you about it. There's 133 titles to the Mosaic Law, and I think that every preacher in America should be teaching this law so that we can practice the law and get the benefits that come from it.
Excellent idea. Excellent. I agree with you 100%. Music on, so that's it. George, thanks a million for being on. Yahweh bless you. Folks, tune in tomorrow night at 7. We're on Monday through Friday by Yahweh's design. And stay strong. Stay with Yahweh and keep your powder dry.